Well, here we are again. Welcome back. You're listening to a special program called KBBF's Candidate Forum. And in the studio with me is my next candidate, Mr. Chris Corsi. Chris, welcome to Women's Spaces. I'm sorry. Welcome to KBBF's Candidate Forum.
Wherever I am, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Elaine.
Well, let's start out by just having you tell our listeners a little bit about you, you know, just, and what is motivating you? I know you have been mayor of Santa Rosa on the city council. That's when I think that's when we first met, when you ran on the city council.
We might have met before that,
But I remember that the first time. So tell us a little bit about yourself, a little background, and what is motivating you for running in this important office.
Sure. Well, my 2 years as mayor of Santa Rosa are really just a small part of my life, a very important part of my life, and I appreciate the opportunity that I had to have that position. But I've lived in Santa Rosa since I was a young man. I've been here for 40 years. And for most of that time, I was a journalist for the Press Democrat. And as a reporter and as a columnist over those years, I got to know every neighborhood in this city, every neighborhood in this county. I got to know the people. I got to know the issues. I got to tell the stories of this county. I think I probably have a unique knowledge of Sonoma County among people who are in elected office, because I didn't come to this job from a career, you know, as a lawyer or an architect or whatever. I came through it by understanding the community. That was my job, and I think I understand it in a very deep way. I served on the city council for one term, 4 years, as mayor for two of those years. And in 2018, I decided not to run again. The night that I made my decision not to run for a second term on the council was the night that the city council approved district elections. And the district elections are something that I think has been needed in Santa Rosa for a long time, to spread out the opportunity for people to run for council. Unfortunately, the decision of the council that night was to have the three districts with incumbents coming up for reelection, myself, Tom Schwedhelm, and John Sawyer. Those would be the first three districts to be elected under district elections. I felt like it went against what district elections were all about, because if John and Tom and I had all run for reelection, we all would have been reelected. There would have been no change on the city council, and district elections are about change and not to run, so there would be change on the city council. And I wasn't planning to run for supervisor.
So what changed?
Well, what changed is in the spring of last year, two people who were going to run for supervisor in the 3rd District dropped out of the race. Julie Combs from the Santa Rosa City Council and Mayor Gina Belforte from Roanoke Park both decided not to run. I believe that democracy demands choice, that people want choice, and that choice is good for our community. So I decided, instead of having the incumbent Shirley Zane run again unopposed for the second term in a row, that I would enter the race. I think that, you know, it's not just choice that's good, it's also change that's good. And that's the platform that I'm running for, is to bring change to the Board of Supervisors.
Also, one of the things that I've learned about Kent there and your thoughts, you know, maybe some changes could be made that way. So, I mean, it's interesting, the whole idea behind it. Well, as you know, I sent you three questions, and then we're going to have a secret question. And
I'm waiting for that secret question.
It's not a hard one. It's an interesting one. It's one of my peeves. But let's go into question number one, which I know is on everybody's mind. We have a homeless problem in our county, and I know we had in the city, you were dealing with this all along. Do you believe homelessness is a county problem and that the county is responsible to providing shelter and services for these individuals? Please explain your answer and include some of your ideas.
It's absolutely a county problem. It's a city problem. It's a community problem. It's a state and national problem.
It's a moral problem.
It's a problem. I became mayor of Santa Rosa in December of 2016. I remember two things very specifically happening almost on the first day that I moved into the mayor's office at City Hall. One is that it started raining after 5 years of drought, and we were all very happy about that. And the second thing was that encampments sprung up under the freeway overpasses downtown, and we started dealing with that. We had spent a lot of time dealing with what was called Homeless Hill in Santa Rosa, and that moved. Parts of it moved. I mean, we took care of some of the people who were there, but not everybody wanted to go into shelter, and a lot of people ended up under the freeways. That started a cycle in the homeless issue that has continued through this day. We tried different approaches to it with the city of Santa Rosa. We've worked with the county on it. None of those has been enough, and we've had to keep trying. This is not a problem that's going to be solved at the local level, but we need to do the best that we can. We can't solve the economic inequality that is just rife in this nation right now. We can do better with it by electing someone different and who pays attention to it at the national level, the next president. I'm going to be voting with that mostly on my mind. But, you know, we have to deal with the addiction crisis. We have to deal with the healthcare system that is so messed up right now, particularly in the areas of mental health. So we have these problems in front of us. We have to take different approaches.
Well, one thought is, what would be one idea, one thing that you would do differently that they're not doing now on the board?
Well, what's been made clear to all of us by the federal courts is we have to provide more options for shelter. When I was on the city council, I was not in favor of sanctioning an encampment such as Camp Michaela. There was a lot of pressure to just say Camp Michaela's okay. We're gonna let that happen. I was not in favor of that. But my thinking has evolved on this issue, and you know, some people might say that I've flip-flopped or whatever. But I think that when you're dealing with complicated issues, you need to be willing to admit that you're wrong or that you may need to do something different. So we need to provide different types of shelter. I'm glad that the Board of Supervisors has provided a different type of shelter out at Los Gillicos. I'm not real happy with the location of that, but it's an acknowledgement that we need different types of shelter. We need that. We need more of that. We need places where people can park an RV or park a car to be safe overnight, where they're not going to get rousted, where they're not going to be prey to criminals, where they're going to feel like they can sleep for a whole night, even if it's in their car. We need to provide sanitary facilities in those locations. We need to provide wraparound services for people. You know, everything from addiction services and health services to just basic life services, how to figure out how to get your benefits, how to get your ID card, how to collect your veterans benefits so you can use that to pay rent on a place going forward.
So how do you propose, what are some of the ideas on doing that, on handling that? That's a real big picture there, boy. I wish it would.
It is a big picture. And we're starting to get better clarity on how big that picture is. You know, the governor the other day in his State of the State speech devoted the whole speech to homelessness. This is a crisis throughout our state, throughout the whole Western United States and beyond. You know, no one has figured it out yet. It's going to cost huge amounts of money, and we're going to need help to do it. But this is an issue that I want to help with, that I'm ready to work on with all my heart and all my blood and sweat and tears. And that's what we have to do. We just have to keep at it.
Well, it's a big issue. It's a big problem. Let's go to our next question, which is, to me, is something that I've been involved with for a long time and really, really I'm very concerned about. You know, there's an initiative that folks hope to get on the ballot in November, the Evelyn Cheatham Ordinance to repeal and replace Article 27 of the Sonoma County Code, establishing the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach Aiello. The proposed ordinance would expand the oversight. And, you know, oversight has been such a dirty word, but this, they put this oversight authority and independence of Aiello to review and analyze complaints against the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office. And the sheriff, as you know, also is the coroner. And would also include and expand the Community Advisory Council, which they call the CAC, which is currently appointed by the Aiello director. And I have a little problem with that personally, that the director is appointing, because, and, you know, I mean, I've been a supervisor myself, and when you hire people, you tend to hire the ones that are going to be the most agreeable with you. So what is your position, and how do you feel about not only what I've mentioned about the initiative that people are trying to get on the ballot, but just about the whole concept of having an oversight committee like this?
So, just to make clear, I was an endorser of the Evelyn Cheatham initiative very early on. I spoke to Jerry Threet about this at Evelyn Cheatham's memorial service. Evelyn was a good friend of mine. I helped get her appointed to the original, I think it was called the CAIA committee. I'm proud to endorse this initiative. I believe that civilian oversight of law enforcement is good for the community in so many ways. It's good for the community at large, and it's good for law enforcement. Law enforcement works best in a community when they have the trust of the community.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, a strong, robust oversight body that has the authority to be the oversight body helps make that trust, helps build that trust between law enforcement and the people that law enforcement serves. Having oversight is not saying that we distrust law enforcement. It is saying we want to help the community trust you more. So I completely believe in this. And, you know, the idea that that the Citizens Advisory Committee should be appointed by the supervisors, I fully support. Those folks on the advisory committee need to have the authority of the Board of Supervisors behind them. They don't need to it's not the best situation when they owe that position to the person that they're advising. They need different authority. So having the board appoint those positions is the way to go as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's very – I agree with you right there. Well, we're almost ready for the secret question.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, I really, it's interesting. You know, I haven't heard anybody use the word oversight, and I think it's just an important word and something that people need to think. You know, language is so important. I mean, we don't realize that just one word could change the whole meaning of everything.
Right. Well, and I'm sorry to interrupt it.
Go ahead.
Continue on that thought for just a second. You know, it's oversight and advisory, and that committee tried last year to get a meeting with the sheriff to provide some advice in their advisory capacity about use of force tactics. And that meeting did not happen before use of force tactics came into play in the death of a civilian in what probably is going to be a very controversial and costly situation for the sheriff's office. So, you know, it's oversight is one part of it. Advice is the other. You know, audits are the job of the director of the Aiello, but it's way beyond audits that we need. We need that oversight. We need that advice.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Well, I have to be honest with you. This is one of my pet peeves, and it has been for a while. And that is, it's very difficult to make contact with the Board of Supervisors if you want to make an appointment. I brought up the idea, and I'm not faulting James Gore. He's my supervisor, and I really appreciate him. But I remember calling his office, and Jenny could only give me, she said, I have to book you a month ahead. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, what if it was an urgent thing that I needed to see him right away? And then I've been noticing as I've been going to the, I haven't been at the Board of Supervisors for a while, and I noticed there's some real hard constraints on the time limits. And so I would like your opinion on that. I mean, how would you handle that? How would you open more time to the public? And what is your feeling about time constraint? I know you had that issue with the city council. Yeah. I mean, I was one of the people that you say, Elaine, your 3 minutes are up. So how would you handle that?
So first of all, you know, I talk to people all the time. I talked to some high school kids today about local government. And the point that I always make is that local government is close to you as we are sitting across the table from each other right now. You can speak to me anytime you want. I'm out in the community all the time. I get stopped on the street. I get stopped at the grocery store. People interrupt my workout at the gym. When you're an elected official at the local level, you should expect to make yourself available when you're out in public. It's part of the job. You're never off duty. When people come up and talk to me, I'll give them as much time as I can. It's not always as much time as they want, but I never dismiss a conversation with a stranger who wants to connect with me as a public official.
What do you think about the ideas of office hours? I mean, the first candidate that I interviewed, Mike Hibbler, brought up the point of Chris Rogers has office hours for the city council. How would you feel about having office hours? I mean, that seems to me a real good solution.
Right. Well, when I was mayor, until the fires hit, I was doing a lunch with the mayor on Courthouse Square. It was a couple of times a month. And I would just go out and I would sit in the square and have a sandwich and be out there for about an hour and a half. And whoever wanted to come and talk to me could come and talk to me. Elaine, you know, have a broader portfolio of things to do. But there's only so many hours in a week. What the supervisors have that the mayor of Santa Rosa doesn't have, for instance, is personal staff. When I was mayor, I answered my own phone. I returned my own emails. I kept my own schedule. And I never had any complaints from people that I wasn't available. In fact, I talk to people all the time who say, you know, I couldn't believe that you called me back when I wanted to talk to you about something. You made time to meet with me. I feel like as a supervisor, I'll have even more availability than I did as a councilman and as a mayor, because I'll also have staff helping me with the details of being in office.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that the city council has to answer their own phones and all those other things.
Goodness, there's no personal staff at all at that level.
What about the time constraints on the public comments?
You know, public meetings are tough. You want to give people as much chance to address the board, to take part in that public meeting as possible. At the same time, when you have dozens and dozens of people who want to speak on a certain issue, you have to be able to figure out how to let everybody speak in an equitable way. So, you know, when I asked you to stop after 3 minutes, it was only because
being disrespectful.
If I let you go beyond three, why can I let no one else do that?
No.
You know, you got to. It's a real balancing act, and you know, running a public meeting is not. It's not my favorite thing to do, because often people feel like, you know, they're rushed, they're not heard. But at the same time, showing up at meetings, as you know, is one of the most effective things you can do for yourself, for your cause in local government. The people who show up get to affect what happens.
That's what I tell people. If you got a complaint, be quiet and go say something to the supervisors or the city council. I can't do anything. They can. Anyway, Chris Corsi, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on this interview and for taking the time and also for running. And are there any last words that you'd like to – I know you want people to vote for you, but any last words other than that you'd like to share with the folks?
Well, as I said, you know, I'm running because I want to see some change at the county level. I'm the first person in 36 years who's had a chance to help a supervisor retire before they were necessarily ready to. I think the voters are ready for change. This is the only seat on the board that has a chance of changing this year or for years to come. Who knows? But if you agree that that change is needed, if you think that we can do better on affordable housing, we can do better on homelessness, we can do better on climate action, I'm the person to vote for on March 3rd.
Well, thank you, Chris Corsi, and I want to wish you good luck in your endeavor here. And thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Elaine. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Well, folks, I'm telling you, this is so exciting for me. I hope I'm doing a much better job than the beginning. So we're going to take another musical break, and I am going to go out and get Supervisor Shirley Zane, who will be in here, and give her her 20 minutes. So go ahead and listen to Vote Again, and I'll be right back.
Everybody.
Oh, my goodness, that song just wakes me up. One, two, three, I am wide awake.